Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Wednesday, January 30th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamott. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the show with me. Also today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Yep.
So, Brian is clearly burning with passion to discuss our first topic. And our first topic today is a little bit of news from yesterday, and that is the earnings call. So, Brian, give me like sort of the high level takeaways for you on this.
Well, the high levels are that Apple did pretty much what it said it would do when it warned early in the the first couple of days of January.
Ah, yes, the infamous investor letter.
They did see here $84.3 billion in revenues, which is, it turns out, hold on, let me do some math. Yeah, it's a lot of money. and they did earnings per share of $4.18, which slightly beat Wall Street consensus. They did $10.9 billion in revenue, which they were just super keen to let us know. Just super revenue. Oh, revenue is up like year over year. Oh, my God. It's just so awesome. And which, by the way, I want to emphasize this again. When Apple talks about services revenue growing, what they mean is getting more money out of us, but not for new products. I just want to make that clear that they're when they keep emphasizing the how much services are going to grow, it means that they are working on new ways to get us, their device owners, to pay more money without necessarily getting new devices. I just want to make that clear. And their guidance was okay for the current quarter, which is the March quarter. And the immediate reaction last night from the after hours market was actually pretty strong. The stock was up, I think, 4%, more than 4% in after hours trading. And I am checking what it is now because I didn't do my homework. iPhone sales down 15% for revenues. Apple no longer discloses unit sales,
right?
For just about anything. And iPhone revenues were down 15% year over year. They said that other revenues were up.
Right. And I thought that was sort of an interesting thing. And another thing that I thought was interesting in the call. I know that they are moving toward no unit sales, and we're not going to tell you how many there were. And I also know that, you know, and we've talked about this before, how we should have seen some of that coming because they've never officially reported watch unit sales for the life of the watch.
It's the one product that they have never reported unit sales.
Right. So once in a while, they will say, we sold a stack of them. In this particular, you know, like the release weekend, we sold a lot of them, or, you know, a whole really lot, or, you know, whatever, however they qualify it, but generally not like a hard number. And so I didn't expect to get any from this one because remember, that was the last wave of fainting about Apple investment news was Apple's not going to tell us how many iPhones they sold anymore. What will we do? Clearly the world is going to end. And kind of looks like it didn't happen. Right, Andrew?
Yeah, so far the reaction seems to be pretty positive. I had a laugh because I saw in the news that Jim Cramer from CNBC, he was basically saying that like the analysts were dysfunctional and they had their tails between their legs because it wasn't as bad as everyone was saying it was.
But it's never as bad as everyone says it was, because every quarter, for as long as I can remember actively following these quarters, which goes back quite some time, as far back as I can remember, it's always if Apple made all the money, it's how long can Apple continue making all the money? And if Apple only made almost all the money, it's Apple only made almost all the money. Clearly they are doomed. What are they going to do to fix this?
Nope, well, okay, exactly. Those concerns, though, are justified, to wit, this quarter. Those concerns have always been justified. They haven't always been predicated on truly understanding what Apple does. That's the big thing that Wall Street has messed up over over the years. Is my running joke has always been Tony Sakanagi's question would be, congratulations on a record quarter. Now, when are you going to do business like everybody else does business?
Right.
I mean, like, the guy has never been able to wrap his head around the whole widget model. He did not ask that particular question this time around, but he has so many times it's not even funny.
But ages and ages of, yeah, like, when you said that, I knew exactly what you were talking about, because that's almost always his question.
But Apple's reliance on iPhone and the it is a justifiable concern for Wall Street.
Except that I don't know that reliance, I feel like they were shifting away from that reliance before there were concerns about their reliance upon that income.
Apple will not be able to shift away from that reliance until it has a new product that takes a significant percentage of revenues.
Well, they've been
that this will not change, and right. The dangers are in what we saw happen in the December quarter. Apple missed its own guidance, which it hasn't done in forever. Mm-hmm. Apple missed its own guidance.
Like, the last time that happened, I don't remember when it was.
I can't remember when Apple certainly has not missed its own guidance since they stopped sandbagging.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, Apple missing would be basically it hitting its own guidance because it was sandbagging.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So since the Apple started stop sandbagging, they haven't missed their guidance, and missing that guidance because iPhone sales were down is the proof in the pudding that Wall Street was right to be concerned about that. Now, I know that Apple fans don't want to hear that, but it is a rational position.
In this case, yes, but generally,
this is the case. This is the only case.
But the thing is, we've heard a lot of the same sort of hand wringing before, when it was not the case, when it wasn't necessarily a valid concern. When, like I said, you know, Apple only made almost all the money. What are they going to do to stop this downward spiral? It seems to be a thing we have heard a lot. Now, in this case, it's hard for me to try to take seriously, because I've been listening to people talk about the inevitable end of Apple because they only sold 1 million phones and not 1 billion phones, or they only sold 1 billion phones and not 2 billion phones, or whatever.
Kelly, that's with that is a fan person's approach. It's not an investor approach.
Well, in this case, they are right to be concerned. Down 15% is a number I would be concerned about, regardless of who the company was in the headline. What happened down 15%?
This notion about Apple having made all the money, where are they going to make, you know, how are they going to stop the bleeding? That's not the issue. The issue is, where is Apple's future growth going to come from?
Right. And that's a valid question to be asked.
A stock's price... First of all, it's set by investors.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, it is predicated mostly on what's going to happen tomorrow, not what happened yesterday.
Right.
And people do not understand where Apple's future revenue growth is going to come from. And that's part and parcel because Apple has a very secrecy-oriented business. Right? So, like, the thing that I've been saying for a while is that Apple's stock price makes sense if you don't think they have another product coming out.
Right.
And Apple's stock price makes no sense if you do think that they have a product coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And either one of those positions requires faith, because there's no evidence. You either have faith that Apple's going to come up with another product, or you have faith that Apple cannot come up with another product, or will not come up with another product.
Right.
And that goes hand in hand with how Apple does business, being secretive about everything.
Mm-hmm.
So again, Wall Street's concerns about Apple's stock, about Apple's business, about Apple's reliance on iPhone sales, those concerns have been valid and remain valid, in my opinion. and I own a very tiny stake in Apple shares myself. I happen to believe that Apple will be coming up with additional products, and that they will be enough to move the needle at some point. I don't know when, and it's very much a faith-based position.
Well, like you said, regardless of which stance on that you take, it's a faith-based position. So, Andrew, what's your faith-based position on this right now?
It's just so tough, like you guys were saying. We're trying to figure out where the next growth will come from. And mm-hmm. Services are doing great. Apple Watch is doing great. They mm-hmm. said Apple Watch was like equal to a Fortune 200 company now.
And that's just services. Like I want to underline that.
No. It's Apple wearables.
Oh, wearables is okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wearables is.
But services is not. I mean, services is probably a 350. I didn't actually look at these numbers either. But the Fortune 200 range is right about $14 billion a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I'm guessing the $10 billion a year, because Apple did say that they did $10.9 billion in services. Mm-hmm. That is probably 350-ish. Maybe even 300-ish.
Yeah. And that's not a small number. I think this is something that sort of gets overlooked because of the way the discussion is always framed, which is the end of days. So that's part of what, Brian, when I'm talking about this stuff with you, that's part of what I get sort of aggravated about. And it's not because I'm a fan or anything. It's because $10.9 billion is a lot of money, and that's revenue. That's not like this is, you know, everything we made and we've adjusted all this stuff. Like, $10.9 billion is a lot of money. And that's only one of the numbers that they reported yesterday. And one of the other numbers was $84.3 billion. And like, if Microsoft made $84.3 billion, like, nobody would even know what to do. So I feel like there's a certain amount, you know, that Apple automatically gets handicapped. You know, like I said, they only made almost all the money. What are they going to do? I am interested in finding out, and I know we'll never know because, again, secrecy. I'm interested in finding out where, like, what Apple is going to do in response to the 15% revenue drop from iPhones. And I'm wondering if it's just now that everybody has an iPhone and nobody's plan is really subsidized anymore, we just have to understand that people aren't going to upgrade like they used to, and this is the new normal and this is what we do now, or if there's going to be some other sort of countermeasure. So what do you think, Andrew? I want to ask Andrew, though. Andrew, do you think Apple's making more stuff?
I think they probably have plenty more in the works. I think they definitely need another hardware device. But yeah, like you said, the word upgrade was mentioned so many times, but people don't want to upgrade because we're in the S cycle and they're not that different from the previous phones. So they're probably, like, everyone might be hedging their bets on this year's iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think they last longer, too, as it becomes a bigger chunk, as the money that you put down for it becomes a bigger chunk of what, of your income and stuff, you know, because the phones are getting more expensive. And, yeah. You know, if you're going to drop without, like, I would think that if you were a person who bought an iPhone 10 outright, you're not necessarily, very few of those people were interested in a 10S this year. And very few of those people might even be interested in whatever comes later in 2019, for that matter. They may be putting an extra year or two or three on that phone because it was a $1,000 phone and I need to get all the mileage out of it that I can.
I just wish the message would be a bit more clear because, I mean, it's obvious they want people to upgrade, mm-hmm. but at the same time, they have this message where people are keeping their phones longer, and that's a good thing. It's sustainable. It's a bit better for the environment. So, right. Like, they're saying both things. I think they should, like, say one thing.
Mm-hmm. And I think, and at least for me and Brian, you may want to, I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel like there used to be the room for something revolutionary to be in the new phone. So, you know, first we got a phone that had a much better camera. We had a phone that had a camera that had enough quality in the lens to be able to be a document scanner. We were able, you know, we got video, we got the S Lady, we got Touch ID, we got Apple Pay. Like, we got all these things that are fundamental differences in how you can interact with your phone and how you and your phone can interact with the world. And I don't know how much room there is for any of that kind of stuff. And yeah. I used to still see a whole lot of potential in what you could do with the computer in your pocket. And I feel like there's a whole lot of that that has been between apps that other people have developed, you know, third-party apps from the App Store, and the fundamental stuff that Apple has built into the hardware. There's so much that it does for you now that, like, as a platform, it's reasonably mature. And so, you know, if you are upgrading, it's I want to get a nicer camera or something that's better in low light, or I really want to make the jump to Face ID because putting my thumb on the button is dumb or whatever. You know, yeah. If you morally oppose the headphone jack, maybe you made the leap for that reason. So I'm not sure how that works. Brian, how about you?
What's the question?
Well, it seems like the platform is reasonably mature, so there's another reason why people aren't upgrading. Like, aside from getting more expensive, it's just I'm not seeing enough of a difference between the phone that's out now and the phone that I have. So I'm going to just keep mine another year and wait and see what the next one does.
I think it's more fundamental than that. I think that Steve Jobs used to talk about how, like, we don't worry about the stock price. We mm-hmm. make the best products we can, and the stock will take care of itself. That was, like, pretty fundamental to Steve Jobs's management of you know, of every company that he was involved in. Mm-hmm. And what I think happened is that Apple understood that iPhone sales were plateauing. They have the part of the market they want, which is the high end of the market, the profitable end of the market. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, unit sales are plateauing, and if we want to continue growing, we're going to have to get more money for phone per phone. So I want you guys to design a phone that's more expensive.
Okay.
And that this has that they've pushed the boundaries on that to the point where it is at the pain threshold for some people. The entry level on a brand new this year's model phone this year was $750. Mm-hmm. That's the entry level. Mm-hmm. It was up $50 from the prior year, which was up $50 from the prior year. It's a pretty significant increase.
Yes.
And whether or not, I mean, you know, like whether or not China sales were off, I think that this high price, I think that they have pushed that as far as they can. And I also think that if I'm right, that that's how the price ended up where it is, that it was like chasing a price point rather than chasing the best phone, mm-hmm. that is a fundamental issue within Apple that's going in a negative direction. I don't have any proof of that. It's just what that's simply my analysis based on all available evidence.
Okay.
And yet I am still a shareholder.
Well, and I think there's probably something to that for a bunch of reasons, but we will talk about that in a minute. Our sponsor today is Capterra. Capterra is the leading free online resource that can help you find the best software solution for your business. There are over 700,000 reviews of products, and all of those reviews come from actual software users. And you can discover everything you need in a new tool from over 700 specific categories in order to make an informed decision. And this includes everything from project management or email marketing to something pretty specific like church management software. So no matter what kind of software your business needs, Capterra makes it very easy to discover the right solution and to discover the right solution fast. So that's capterra.com/TDO. You can go there for free today, and you can find the right tools to make 2019 the year for your business. That's capterra.com/TDO, CAPTERRA.com/TDO. So I want to talk a little bit about earnings, like you were saying, Brian, just designing a more expensive phone. I feel like there may be some of that going on, and I wonder if it's because there wasn't a new fundamental thing to add this year on the S track. Like, you know, we used to get like the new phone and what it looked like, and then we would get the S model, which had a little bit of refinement or a little bit of improvement in some way. It would sort of be the same on the outside. You know, we used to refer to them as like the outside upgrades, like going from a 3 to a 4 or a 4 to a 5. And then the inside upgrades, 4 to 4S, 5 to 5S, etc.
I never referred to them that way.
I've heard it that way. I've heard it that way more than one place. So I don't mean you.
I'm just sticking my claim in the ground there.
Okay. Brian never did that. But I've heard it called that. And, you know, an evolution revolution tracks, you know. And so it seemed like there wasn't really a place for them to go with the S track this year. Like, if they were going to, you know, in making the 10S, it doesn't feel like there was a whole lot there for them to improve on. And Brian, if your stance on we want to hit a price point as opposed to do something really cool with the new iPhone 10 is correct, do you think that's part of why the SE continues to, like, no matter how many Apple puts online, they just keep selling out? Because that's a price point too, and it's on the other end of the scale.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why Apple stopped updating the SE, and I mean the only reason that makes any sense to me, and I violently disagree with it philosophically, is that Apple killed the SE because it wanted to boost average selling price, and that's the wrong reason to kill a product. Again, I don't have any direct evidence of this. I haven't spoken to executives who've told me that, but in that there is demand for this issue. And in that, it puts the entry level of a new device on a much more approachable level. I don't understand why Apple does it. I just don't. So my point is, I guess, that I don't know why it's very mystifying to me. I mean, like the SE form factor seemed to be getting the axe at the same time that Apple stopped updating all of its other products too.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand that either, right? Like, you know, it should be the simplest thing in the world for Apple to update existing product lines every year. I mean, like, Apple right now is spending $8.6 billion a quarter $6 to $8 billion a quarter on R&D. And when I first started following this company, they were doing less than $2 billion a year in sales per quarter.
A quarter. Okay.
And would make, I mean, like, and yet would somehow be able to update everything, you know, magically.
More regularly. Yeah.
John Keep put it, the Apple's been doing less and less with more and more. So mm-hmm. I don't know what the deal is with the SE. I wish that that was a product that was out there. But keep in mind that Apple, it turns out, now this is going to be a real surprise to a lot of people. It turns out Apple knows more about what it's doing than I do.
What?
Yeah. And they have more information, and they very much know, like Apple could have all of the market share, right? Mm-hmm. Apple could crush Android if they wanted to make a $200 iPhone alongside the expensive phones.
Mm-hmm.
But Apple knows that there's no profits in that low end of the market, that market share for market share sake means nothing. And Apple made the decision to occupy the part of the market that it wants to occupy. And they did so for a reason. And that is just reality.
Mm-hmm. And it does seem intentional. Like, it's not like, oops, we accidentally made the expensive phones and we're not doing this other thing. So I agree with you on that.
Oh,
so
it's extremely intentional. just like I think that the starting price of this year's iPhones was extremely intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And it was by design and not as a matter of like, we have to charge this much because this is what it costs. I believe that Apple said, we want to sell a phone that costs this much. So what do we need to put into it to justify that cost? And if that's the case, if I am right on that, And I hope that I am not right on that. But if I am right on that, that to me is like would be the most troubling thing I've about Apple in many years. And I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that I'm just being cynical and that I have no idea what I'm talking about and I'm just an idiot and you know. Shut up.
Brian Chaffin looks forward to your letters.
I honestly hope that that's the case. I hope that I'm 100% wrong on this.
How about you, Andrew? Do you think Brian's high?
No, I was going to say that makes sense to me just because during the call, I think Tim did mention that maybe the price was a bit too high for some consumers, but all of that talk was focused on consumers in certain markets like China, maybe India. Mm-hmm. So they admit that there's a problem in some areas, but they don't want to admit that there's a problem here. And I think, like Brian was saying, I think there might be a problem.
Yeah, I think so. Does this mean, and I'm going to ask both of you this, so surprise. Do you think that this means we will get a slightly more economical phone this year or no? Brian?
Golly, that's a good question. If we get a slightly more economical phone this year, I suspect it will be another like SE, another smaller,
absolutely
smaller device. I can't imagine Apple being willing to lower the price. I mean, like a better question may be, will Apple try to raise the price of everything by $50 again for the third year in a row? That's probably a better question. And my considered opinion without evidence is that Apple is more likely to hold the ground on this year's pricing.
Mm-hmm. I see that being pretty likely.
Makes more sense to me.
I expect that that's what it will be. How about you, Andrew?
Yeah, I hope that they would make an economical model. I mean, one idea I had was there's all this talk of what if USB-C comes to this year's iPhone. So my idea was, well, if they keep releasing two or three models, they could have two of the models be USB-C, one of the model be still Lightning, mm-hmm. just so everyone can get used to it. And then maybe that Lightning one will be the more affordable one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Boy, splitting the product line. I mean, of course, I can't imagine that happening. I also said that there's no way Apple will ditch Lightning for a non-proprietary connector. So, you know, pretty much if you're listening to this right now, you just assume everything I'm saying is wrong.
Well, that would be good, though, in this case. I hope that something like that happens. What I think about when I think about like having a more economical iPhone model is that not too long after the 6S came out was when they put out the SE, which was the 5S case with 6S insides, and it was like March, I think it was, and it just sort of was released. There wasn't a big deal about it or anything. It was just like, we have a new phone now, you can go get one. And there wasn't a lot of fanfare around it or anything at the time. It didn't get its own event or anything like that. And so I'm sort of hopeful that maybe something like that would happen again and that that's what they would do as a more economical phone, that it would be sort of like the SE unveiling. You know, we'd get the SE2 and maybe it's, you know, like iPhone 8 sized or something, and, you know, comes out and it's a little bit less money and, you know, everybody wins. I don't know. I would like if that were the case. And, you know, who knows? Let's roll it up into some wild rumor mongering / crackpot theorizing and say that they're going to announce the new, more slightly more economical model when they announce the new iPad mini at the event where they are also going to debut the new AirPods, because we keep hearing about that over and over again. So I'm just going to put all of that together in one tidy little rumor and call it for today. So, Brian, thank you so much for joining me.
Yep.
And Andrew, thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, I'm gonna go ahead and call it there. This has been the Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast for January 30th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.